This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And it is time now for the Noon Ag Show, brought to you by Wayne Schaefer, your country insurance agent in Jerseyville. Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville, taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Area Diesel Service of Carlinville and M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs. And now with the Noon Ag Show, here's Gabe Osborne.
Thanks, Levi. Now here for Ag News on your Tuesday afternoon. The ethanol industry admits it doesn't oppose electric vehicles, but argues President Biden's more than $2 trillion infrastructure proposal also needs a heavy dose of biofuel in the mix. The ethanol industry is skeptical of the Biden infrastructure package, heavily weighted towards electric vehicles, while some Midwestern Democrats are now demanding more biofuel help in return for their vote. Renewable Fuel Association Chief Jeff Cooper says the government's own figures show it would take a long time for electric vehicles to catch on with the monitoring public.
Even in 2050, 80% of the new vehicles sold are expected to be fueled by liquid fuels. And that's the percentage of new vehicles sold. That's not the percentage of vehicles on the road, which would be an even larger number when it comes to internal combustion engines.
The high cost and difficult refueling electric vehicles has kept their numbers at less than 2% of all cars and trucks on the road today. But Cooper argues there is a solution.
If you look at a technology like a hybrid flex fuel electric vehicle running on E85 flex fuel or some other high-octane ethanol blend, that liquid fuel is going to dramatically extend the range of the vehicle and substantially reduce the greenhouse gas emissions. This technology is in the marketplace today, not in the U.S., but in Brazil. There is a flex fuel hybrid Corolla that has been introduced. Low cost, very simple technology.
RFA recent polling shows voters don't favor a mandate for all electric car sales by 2035. They oppose a carbon emissions tax, and they want some kind of cash incentive to buy electric and hybrid vehicles. And another related ag news. In an unusual feat for spring, the national average price of gasoline and diesel is unchanged from last week. The national average price of gas stands at $2.85 a gallon, 2 cents lower than a month ago and $1.07 higher than a year ago. The national average price of diesel is also unchanged from last week and stands at $3.07 a gallon. Meanwhile, nationally, gasoline demand has fell 0.5%. Gas Buddies' Patrick DeHaan says gasoline demand has given up ground for the second straight week, likely due to some areas of the country seeing a rise in coronavirus cases and as spring break plans conclude. DeHaan notes that the next trend in gas prices isn't evident just yet, and we may see additional slight sideways movement in the weeks ahead until either demand picks up or we see the opposite. Crude oil prices perked up last week on solid improvements in jobless claims, the retail sector, and consumer sentiment. Carbon credits are making a showing potential and as a possible revenue stream for farmers. Thanks to carbon sequestration practices they can implement on their farm. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack has come out in favor of the USDA operating as a potential carbon bank for U.S. producers that want to participate in carbon markets. Robert Bonney, President Biden's nominee for USDA Undersecretary of Food Production and Conservation, and he says some questions need to be answered before the agency gets to that point.
Is there a role for USDA to help finance, to partner with the private sector, not to structure things in a way that compete with the private sector, but to think about structuring things in a way that provide more stability and the importance of getting resources to the producer?
Carbon credit markets have been around for a long time. Bonney says the challenge is making it financially worth it for producers to take the time and effort to implement sequestration practices that will cost money up front.
What we're trying to do here is how do we incentivize reducing greenhouse gases through carbon sequestration or reducing emissions themselves? And so there's an interest in being more performance oriented. And so thinking about some flexible tools of how USDA can do that, are there some more flexible tools you could think about?
There are challenges for farmers who want to take part in the current carbon market program. Bonney says USDA will likely need to partner with private sector organizations to help producers overcome those challenges.
high transaction costs. I would argue some uncertainty about what the prices are right now, right? And so is there a role for USDA to help finance, to partner with the private sector?
Again, that was Robert Bonney, the nominee for USDA Undersecretary for Food Production and Conservation. And in the latest national crop news, soybean farmers are getting excited about the possibility of the new biofuel demand. It is called renewable diesel and differs from soy diesel in several key ways. Crude oil refineries about the globe are actively building out the capacity to make renewable diesel to meet tightening carbon standards. The push is already on in the United States, according to UFI ag economist Scott Irwin.
It sure looks like we're going to add at least 2 billion gallons of renewable diesel capacity in the next 2 to 3 years, which is a giant amount of feedstock. But here's what people are missing. And this is the big question. How much of what we can now, what I would now call FAME biodiesel, which is the fatty acid methyl ester traditional biodiesel, is this going to cannibalize?
This is because renewable diesel, when compared to soy diesel, is favored under current U.S. law as it relates to advanced biofuels.
The real big thing is renewable diesel, it gets much higher carbon credits in California. And so renewable diesel will definitely cannibalize quite a bit of the FAME biodiesel market.
Some analytical firms have suggested the rise of renewable diesel, despite it just coming into the main, has already capped soy diesel production. That being said, because it takes slightly more pounds of soybeans to make a gallon of renewable diesel, 7.8 pounds, than soy diesel, which is 7.5 pounds, it will drive soybean demand higher, thinks Irwin.
It is the next version of the biofuels boom.
It's coming and already having an impact on oilseed markets around the globe, says Irwin, even for the price of soybeans. However, he cautions it's not yet clear how many of the intended renewable diesel refineries on the books will be built. In other USDA news, Ag Secretary Vilsack says the USDA is only days away from announcing greater opportunities for landowners to take the fragile farmland out of production in exchange for payment. A successful farming article says the Biden administration is looking for ways to halt a 13-year decline in the number of signups under the Conservation Reserve Program, which is the largest land set-aside program in the country. Vilsack recently told Illinois Public Radio that the CRP could play a role in President Biden's plan to make American agriculture the first in the world to get to zero net greenhouse gas emissions. Approximately 20.8 million acres are enrolled in the CRP program, with contracts on 3 million acres set to expire coming up September 30th. While the 2018 Farm Bill calls for gradually raising the enrollment cap to 27 million acres, it lowered the annual rental rate to landowners to pay for those extra acres. Some senators had said last fall that the USDA was being stingy with the incentives and bonuses it had previously offered to encourage producer participation. And now in State of Illinois Ag News, farmers have started to plant corn and beans with the warm weather, but that is being stymied this week with the slight chance of snow that we have this week. Illinois Corn Growers Association Executive Director Rodney Weinzerl says most farmers were busy, especially those south of I-70 that did plant corn and beans.
People are running pretty hard on both corn and beans. Probably some around Springfield area. In fact, I know of at least one farmer that's done with corn between Springfield and Jacksonville. But just a few people were maybe running around here for a day or so.
And according to the latest USDA crop report, 12% of the Illinois corn acreage has now been planted, which is ahead of the last year and five-year average by about 5%. And the latest news from the Illinois Livestock Leadership Institute has been announced. Formerly known as the Illinois Pork Leadership Institute, the Illinois Livestock Leadership Institute is now a combined effort of the Pork Producers, the Beef Association, and Midwest Dairy. ILLI provides an opportunity for young men and women to be actively involved in the livestock industry and all of agriculture. The program is sponsored by the three previously mentioned organizations and is administered by the respective staff. ILLI will be a four-day trip that focuses on leadership, citizenship, and communication skills through hands-on experience. It'll be hosted in a different location each year, and the destination this year is for Des Moines, Iowa, from June 28th through July 1st. Participants must be 16 to 20 years old by the time of the trip, but participants need not to be a beef, pork, or dairy producer or from a beef, pork, and dairy producing family, but they must exhibit a sincere interest in the livestock industry and agriculture. A maximum of 27 students will be accepted. Registration is based first upon age, then on quality of response to a prompted list on the registration form. Notification will be made within 1 week of the application deadline, and if chosen, there is a $150 registration fee to attend the trip, with all other trip expenses covered by the ILLI. Interested students must register prior to May 21st, and the registration link can be found on all respective organizations' websites and their social media pages. Notice of acceptance will be given within a week of May 21st. And in local ag news now for your Tuesday, coming up on Friday, April 30th and Saturday, May 1st, the U of I Extension Montgomery County Master Gardeners will be having their Mother's Day hanging basket plant sale. It'll be held in the parking lot between the Masonic Lodge and Brown's Insurance in Hillsboro. Proceeds will benefit the Montgomery County's Farmers Institute, and they'll have a selection of 10-inch premium hanging baskets with assorted colors and assorted sun and shade varieties. All plants are $15, and again, that sale coming up Friday, April 30th, and Saturday, May the 1st. At 919 South Main, that's just south of the Masonic Lodge parking lot in Hillsboro. And going on now through this coming Saturday, the 4x4's 4-H Club in Macoupin County will be holding a food drive. Items that they are collecting include canned goods, soups, macaroni and cheese, peanut butter, and jelly, and more. Collection boxes are located at Randy's Market in Gillespie and Benelde, the Benelde Public Library, and Associated Bank in Mount Olive. More information on donating to this cause, you can call 217-835-2222. And that'll wrap up Ag News here on your Tuesday afternoon. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News by an email at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Tuesday afternoon, April 20th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.